meeting started is Tuesday, August 6, 2019, at 7:03 PM, and we are meeting in the community center. We are going to start with a pledge given by Councilmember Ellsworth and an invitation given by Councilmember Geddes.
Everybody, please rise.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Heavenly Father, we thank thee this day that as we come together as a community for this city council meeting, we are grateful for this beautiful country we live in, this beautiful state for our community. We're thankful for those that volunteer and serve here and those that work to beautify and make our city a great place to live. We're so thankful for the efforts of our residents, and we pray tonight that we will, as we review the business, that we will be able to make good decisions and good choices in the things that we do. We pray for thy guidance in our on our behalf, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Moving on to item number two, which is an approval of the meeting's agenda. So we also I will move that we approve the meeting's agenda. Motion made by Councilmember Anderson. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Councilmember Miller. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Moving on to item number three is public comments. Anybody here to speak in public comment? All right. We will close that portion of our meeting then and move on to item number four, which is our consent agenda. Somebody else can make a motion on that. I will move that we approve the consent agenda. Motion made by Councilmember Anderson. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Ellsworth. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Move on to items 5 and 6, city reports and business, starting with Mr. Goodwin.
A couple of recreation notes. I know last month when we met, we said that the golf course had had its best month ever. I'd like to report that once again, I can say that we've broken that. The golf course has had its best month ever last month. So it's been a really good summer for the course. I want to commend Greg and his staff. I know that it's because of their efforts. We have tot soccer and soccer registrations that are open this week. They end in a week. And also flag football also ends this week. So with school coming up, we know parents get a lot on their plates, so please take the time to register for those. We have Lego Camp is taking place this week, so if you look behind me, I have a bunch of bins of Legos, and we're getting a great participation in that, and the kids are having fun. And then finally, we have we've had continual problems with the golf course in terms of vandalism. So we want groups in the community to be vigilant in what they're seeing on the course, and we've put signs out to alert people to various items that are prohibited. But we want to stress the importance of parents teaching their kids about private property. Even though this is a public course, this is private property. So we want to alert people to that and be vigilant. Thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you, Councilmember
Dix. I do not have anything to report.
Councilmember Miller.
Nothing to report.
On mine, we did have a social gathering with the Pleasant Grove, American Fork, and Linden City Councils. When was that? Last week sometime? And Brian, I'm sure you'll come. I think that the plan is that it happens to be quarterly, twice a year, something like that. Anyway, it was great. We got to tour the new fire station, the police station for Pleasant Grove. It was a good opportunity just to get to know people serving in the other cities. That was the first time I met one of the Linden council members, so I think that they want to fund this one officer to give us an opportunity to at least know each other, so when we have issues or concerns or areas of mutual interest, we know each other and know who to reach out to. I did attend the Utah County Tax Reform meeting last week as well, and I did put notes on my Facebook page originally that, but if you have any feedback on what the legislature is proposing, now is the time to submit that because they are going to be, that they received all this feedback from their meetings, they're going to be drafting something. What that looks like, yeah, I don't know. ULCT is advocating that whatever they do, they need to remember that if they're lowering sales tax rates, that hurts cities, what the revenue that we bring from sales tax and also on our RAP taxes. So we'll watch that as well. And then lastly, I met with the residents from the Charleston last week. Chandler and I are going to start doing that twice a year. And it was great. I went out and I gave them an update on Cedar Canyon and Harvey Park. and then just opened it up to whatever questions that they had. And there were just a variety of things that they wanted to know about or discuss, and it was an opportunity to, and I'm surprised how many people were there. So what did they want to know? They wanted to know why any shares of the Pleasant Grove, and why we didn't allow for taller buildings in the city, and some of the questions I asked you about. They were very interested in Cedar Canyon, obviously, because that's right across the street. There were some questions about park space. There was one gentleman who was very adamant that he saw the golf course, so we had a great golf course discussion about why we haven't done that, and the golf course committee, their findings, and what was the feedback from residents that we had on selling the developer versus keeping open space. We had a great conversation about open space. They asked about other businesses coming in. They also like a restaurant, so they want a nice restaurant. They talked a little bit about what the city can and can't do there. So it was great. I didn't really think about it until Family Festival, when a resident approached me from the Charleston, asked some questions that they probably don't have a lot of opportunities to do in the city. So we're going to, Charleston and I will do that twice a year, and more often if they want us to, but they felt twice a year was enough. So we'll plan on that to just let you know if there's any concerns that are raised back. Councilmember Anderson.
I love that. So from that four city meeting, you remember that we offered to sponsor the next gathering.
Yes.
So we, that's my conception. Yeah, so we need to start planning that. So we have better snacks. Let's have better snacks.
We were thinking after January, when our new, because we'll all have new council members. So we'll,
yeah, we wanted to meet all the new council
members. We already know what our council
members are. We already know.
They don't quite it. Yeah. So that's all. Okay. Councilmember Rose.
Nothing
to discuss. All right. We move on to item number 7, which is discussion on the Vista Room resident rate of nights.
Sorry, there are two more housekeeping items I wanted to announce. There is a TSSD tour that was scheduled for Thursday if you're interested in our wastewater treatment plant down in Utah Lake. Usually around this time
of year. That's been rescheduled.
That has been rescheduled.
I'm sorry, I will put it to you. Yes, okay.
So if you're interested in going, it is September 8th. It's a great opportunity to go down there and check out the wastewater treatment plant. Every year at Utah Lake, we're now members of the Utah Lake Commission, but every year around this time or in July, there start to be the algal blooms on the lake. And the wastewater treatment plant is really putting forward an effort to show the people the quality of the water that's being put into the lake by them. So it's a really interesting opportunity to go see how
they let you drink it.
It's one step away from drinking.
Okay. You can wash your hands with it, don't you?
I'll forward it to you guys. So, okay.
We'll send out that information.
That's a question. Who in the council sits on that board?
I do.
Okay. No council member.
And then second, the Utah League of Cities and Towns will be hosting their annual conference at the Salt Lake. It starts September 11th and I believe it runs through the 13th. So it's like a Sheraton Hotel. If you're interested in some of you have already registered, if you're interested in registering, please contact myself or Gretchen.
I'm going to be there.
I've never been to the one in Salt Lake because it's never had that conflict with this year.
I'll let Gretchen know.
Yeah, so let's know.
Did you get registered?
It's always a good event.
But Billy has a minute. It's actually September 10th.
September 10th, excuse me.
10:30 a.m.
I will be there for that. Should be interesting. And he also does a presentation that I'd like to get on a work session when he comes and kind of talks about the sewer plant, what they do down there. So I think the idea have him come present during a work session. All right, so the first item on the council agenda tonight is a discussion on policies related to for-profit events in the Vista Room. We do have a resident rate night that is on Wednesday night. Is that right, Greg?
Monday and
Wednesday, every week. The rooms upstairs are available to rent by residents at a supremely discounted rate. I believe it's $20 an hour per site. Mm-hmm. Is that correct? Greg, if I step out of line, just
you got it.
Put me in line, okay? We have no issues with the resident rate night. That, we think that's a great idea because we get things like Eagle Scout Court of Honors, we get some family reunions. It's great advertising.
There was a dance recital last night.
There's a dance recital, things like that. These are really great things to bring the community in, showcase our building, and bring people into the building. We think it's a great thing. But what we've had a couple times is the resident has rented the room and then used it for a for-profit event. And they told us how much money they made, and we were a bit surprised. And maybe a little, let's say,
surprised at how much?
Surprised at how much money they made. So to me, I'll be honest, I don't remember, but it felt a little bit like we were subletting their business a little bit, like we were subsidizing their business. So we had, as a staff, we just felt a little bit uncomfortable with resident rate night being used for for-profit events, because the idea of it is that it's for, it can be for private events, but something like a dance or something, not something you're going to sell tickets to. But that's what we had a concern with, and I had Greg and his staff go out and look at our history. This isn't something we've tracked, because this isn't something that happens frequently at all. But the person has since come back and said, I want to do it again. I would too. But we have posted nonprofits. We have posted a couple nonprofits for fundraising for them, but that's a little bit different. For example, we posted Utah Regional Ballet, Orem High School Prom. We've done those types of things. I had Greg's staff reach out to a couple other venues. Provo City Library, they charge full price no matter what the use is. Spanish Oaks Golf Course, they don't do discounts to anyone. A couple of places didn't hear back, didn't say anything back. But we wanted to address the problem with the mayor and the council and see if this is something that, as a staff, we're okay with, or is this something that we need to draft a policy going forward. Now, in speaking with Jeff Mock, building official, no matter what, if there is a for-profit event, you cannot exceed the posted building occupancy. So it's a little bit different than a wedding where people cycle in and cycle out. If you're selling tickets to an event, they're there for the duration of the event, and there's performance and there's seats available, so you're really limited in how much you can sell. As a city, we have to police that a little bit more, which should probably take a little bit more staff time to support profit debt. But I just want to hear your thoughts. This is something that you're concerned about.
So how frequently? I mean, does this just happen
very infrequently? Very infrequent.
A couple times a year.
So it's kind of a, I don't know if it's that big of an issue, but I don't mind, in my opinion, if it's a for-profit, non-community type event, and they're just doing it because the rate's so cheap for a room that night. Mm-hmm. I think we just say we don't do that. We don't allow that for that. It's for community, family, whatever. It's not for you to sell tickets and make money on it.
I said I feel better. I feel differently. If it's
or you pay the pay,
full,
the right,
it's
the full rate.
Event, I don't really care if they do it.
Because at that point, it's not being subsidized.
It's not being
subsidized. Right. I don't have a problem with paying the full rate.
Night, it's not really being subsidized. It's really kind of just barely covering our costs. But we're also not, I guess, in the business of picking winners and losers on who gets to rent the room.
Chandler, can you remind me what the regular rate, hourly rate is? Is it the resident's $40 an hour?
Monday through Thursday is $1,350. Friday, that's resident. So actually, a normal one is $1,650. Fridays are $1,900.
And
Saturdays
are
$2,000.
What's the time?
3 o'clock to 10 o'clock. It's a 7-hour window.
Okay. So on the resident nights, there's the option to rent a small increment of time. But the rest of the time, we don't do that. You rent the facility for the afternoon and the evening.
You rent the building and you get it from 3 to 10 o'clock.
Yeah, and I'll just add that we're not opposed to the resident thing at all. I mean, it's like anything, though. When you have somebody sign a contract, they know what they're supposed to do. They don't do it. You know, I'll be honest, our staff does a lot more work than we should be, including cleanups. Mm-hmm. Right. It's just hard. It's hard for us with staff. It's hard to put them in a position with people who are really rude to them. So, you know, our department goal is customer service. And so we tell them, go a step above that. You know, easier said than done sometimes, because you deal with some pretty brutal people on some nights that are extremely rude. Even though they've signed a contract stating they'll do A, B, and C, the sister-in-law takes over and she can care less, you know. So we're going to do what you tell us to do. I like what some of the other cities do, whether it's a 10% off discount off the normal rate or just regular rate. We don't care. You know, and again, at the end of the day, you tell us what to do, we're going to do it. It's just a lot to ask for our staff and then to have somebody come back and say, by the way, we made X amount of dollars. And
And it's different if it's a nonprofit fundraiser.
Correct. I'm just talking nonprofit.
Yeah, so a nonprofit fundraiser, I don't
care. I mean, I don't care that we subsidize our local residents, because that's what this is. It's a community center.
Right.
So I really don't want to change that.
No, I
don't know. No, I think it's a step. I think that the residents reignite is great. It's
It's a screaming deal for if you schedule a wedding reception for your as a resident on a Monday or Wednesday night. It's a great deal. That's great. I'm happy for that.
Yeah, I agree.
I thought we changed the fee on the.
It is. It's
just for the weddings.
There's still a $500. It's like
it's $450 now.
Okay, yeah.
For a 6-hour window, and we do a lot of those.
But we pay someone to be here. My daughter-in-law worked here this summer, and it's like she's here for 7 hours. You know, a quarter of the fee went to pay just the resident or just the person that was helping out.
Sure.
Basically.
Yeah.
So thoughts on using resident night for for-profit events?
Yeah, that's specifically what we're curious about.
I'm against that. I don't think a for-profit event should be using resident rate.
And that's because the for-profit event organizer is a resident of our city.
Yeah. I think that's just gaming the system, honestly.
I
think we can just ask, and if it's a for-profit thing, you're selling tickets, you pay the full rate.
So this group that Jan was talking about, they have approached us to do it again, and we're going forward with the regular resident rate. So just so that you understand that, because until you guys make another decision,
that's what you told them.
Is,
your decision was we're not going to do this again.
No, that's just something we wanted. I brought up the challenge one day, saying, can we discuss it with the council? Because until then, we're going to continue doing it as is. Because that's the right. That's exactly
so you told them it would be the $40?
Yeah, that's what we have to. So we have directives.
But that's the policy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's just fine.
Yeah.
Well, we wanted you to be aware of it.
And if you've made the commitment, I don't want you to go against that one. But going forward, let's.
Sure.
Sorry, when were they hoping to do it again?
Did they know the date, to be honest with you. I know that they booked it, though.
Okay. We'll drop something and bring it back to the council. We'll look at it.
I think it'd be appropriate, especially where this organization is probably really the only one we're considering at this point, and somebody that's trying to do it kind of regularly, where we, you know, on our list for the next time, we'll put them on notice that the policy is changing.
Oh, I thought it'd be way more that they can do those smaller things here, and that absorb those nights where residents can have things like family reunions and then the things where we want them to be able to use the center. So, yeah, I'm against letting them do that.
Okay, we'll work on something.
I think it was worthy to discuss it. I'm glad you brought it up.
What is still in that? Can we exclude certain groups?
I think that the aberrations are small enough that you just put on there, and if they represent their nonprofit, that's probably sufficient. If that proves to be a problem, then we can maybe request documentation. But the appreciate, most people don't have a LLC or a corporation that they form. It's just a group of people, even a for-profit group, it just, you know, could be some MLM or just a person on their own. So verifying is hard, but if we have a person assigned here and they're taking the tickets at the door, that's probably a clear sign. And then I think even then, if we say it on there, then if they do something, just say you're not invited back again in the future. That's probably adequate. If we get a lot of violations, we might need to get more serious. But if we only have one violation a year.
Well, I don't have a problem having to come back at the full rate. They can pay the full rate and do that. I don't have a problem with that.
I think to your question, we had this conversation with David Shelby as the city attorney, and we really can't exclude any group from renting buildings, public buildings. He always used the example of religious groups. So for a long time, we rented the building on Sundays to the new Pope Private Church, right? Well, if another church used the Church of the Spaghetti Monster, whatever that was called, if they came, well, we have to offer the same type of rates. And I think that applies here too. So we're not saying you can't be here. It's just that you can't take advantage of a resident rate for a commercial purpose.
Giving resident advisor a nonprofit preference, that's eminently legally defensible. I can't imagine even challenging that.
I'll work with staff to draft something for the Mr. Wright and the Convention Council.
Okay. Let's move on to item number 8, which is review action on granting extension to David Beekman's homes on the Cedar Canyon subdivision public improvements.
If you have the opportunity to drive up Cedar Hills Drive or down 4610 to see that the Cedar Canyon is moving along quite rapidly. They, however, due to the settlement agreement that we had with the terms there, the date for completion of the move was July 29th. That date is coming and gone, and they're asking for extension. There's been a number of change orders that have been requested by staff, and you know, new projects, things come up, you have to report for. And also, we had a very, very wet spring, so it delayed a lot of projects. Our park is being delayed because of the spring. But they're asking for an extension. They're asking actually for two extensions. They're asking for an extension on the delivery of all the improvements except the streetlights to August 26th, so just 20 days from today. And then they're requesting an extension on the streetlights until October 28th. There was some miscommunication. They weren't of an understanding that the city was putting them in, and the city was of an understanding that they were putting them in. So they're going to put them in, but they're in the 12-week back. So they're asking until to delay the street or the streetlights to turn those over until October 28th. I don't foresee any issues with this, as there's not really any pressing need to have that road done today. 4700 West Road. It would be nice to have that ambulance in, but I'd rather give them the time to do it correctly. Any questions?
I don't see any reason not.
It's not an issue.
All right, unless there's a motion. Is this a 2-second motion?
It's asking for 1 day. The request for the date actually came in after the memo was completed. I would just say that give them an additional 20 days to complete.
Why don't we give them like 30 days? So.
Give them to the end of August. Give them to the end of August on the proposal improvements and then streetlights to the end of October.
Great. I'll make the motion. To approve a time extension, thereby granting David Weekly Homes an additional 30 days on the improvements and until the end of October on the streetlights.
October
31st to complete, and then this. So that's it.
Motion by
Councilmember
Geddes. Is there a second?
Second
by Councilmember Miller. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. That was the last thing on our agenda. I'm just going to remind the council that tonight is the American Fork Night Against Crime. Lieutenant Ludlow is in the dunk booth, so I encourage you all to go over there and dunk him.
With that tie.
Yep. More importantly, though, it's actually a fundraiser for the police department, so it's for a good cause.
I drove by it on my way here. It looked like they were having fun.
Yeah.
It is at the park on
100 East Main.
Right down there by the tabernacle.
Yeah, so head on over and see all our American Fork
Amazing there. People.
Yes. Yeah. I will take a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Motion by Councilor Rosewood, is there a second?
Second.
Councilor Geddes, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye. Yes.